Talk with Pat Caputo and the radio voice of the Detroit Tigers, Dan Dickerson.
This one is gone!
On Tigers Radio, 97.1, The Ticket.
.2485399797 is the phone number. Well, you know, it's snowy outside. It's colder than you possibly can be. And you know what that means? It means Dan Dickerson and I are in here doing Tiger Talk on 97.1 The Ticket.
It's a great tradition, no matter what day of the week we're on.
Yeah, it doesn't. And it's great to be here. I'll tell you what, it's this time of the year I start pining for baseball. I start thinking about baseball. I put on my little iPad and go back and look at individual innings just randomly throughout the – from the I'm serious and just kind of dream about
– anybody really wonders whether Pat is a sports geek, especially baseball? Yes. The answer is yes.
Yeah, you know, I put on a game. This is the truth. I think it was from like September. The 9-8 game. Castellanos hit a home run against Kansas City. It was at Comerica Park. It was like a rainy day. I put on and watched a couple innings of it, saw a Candeliero bat. And I watched what was the lefty pitcher that came up from the minor leagues?
Iroh?
No. Miles Jane. Was that him? Or he's a righty, right?
He's a righty.
Who is the lefty?
Last I looked. I did not go back and review any games, though, so I might be mistaken.
And, you know, they put up there that his ERA was, you know, it was like 5.2 or it was really high, six in the sixes. He's pitching against the Royals and all of a sudden started crushing home runs off him. And but I was watching. I went through and kind of shifted through. Gosh, I can't think of who. I'm drawing a blank. If somebody says a name, I'll know it right away. But
A lefty up from the minors in September.
Yeah, he was up earlier in the year. He was one of those guys who was Chad Bell, that was who it was. Started some games that they got in the trade a couple of years ago. So, but anyway, 248-539-9797.
The thing is, Pat's getting excited about baseball. He's going back and reviewing, or at least watching.
I just put on
some of these September Tigers games.
I put on random games. I went back on MLB.com.
Maybe some of the postseason.
You know, the postseason was outstanding this year. I watched a lot of that. I'll go back and look at it. But, you know, the point is, Tiger Fest is coming up a week from Saturday. We're all excited about that. Dan and I will be on doing a show from 11 to 1, and we'll have all Al Avila, all kinds of people. I assume Gardenhire,
yep.
Everybody. We'll stop on by and talk. I'll be there starting at 10 o'clock. Dan Leach will be working with me the first hour of that. And we're going to have
show.
A lot of fun. Yeah, it'll be the pregame show for the Tiger Talk, the special edition. We always look forward to it. And it's that time. You got your media caravan and getting to eat some of those deviled eggs out there. And
a week from this Thursday, we head out. We head for places north.
You know,
take our skis with us.
You know, I don't mean to go back in the day, but back in the day when I was a beat writer, we used to take that bus with the players. We'd go and we'd travel with them, and it was just one tour stop. Ernie would be there, and way back in the day, you know, Jim Campbell would do that. We'd always stop at Win Schuler's. That was like the big thing, and we'd go all over the state. And I remember
Grand Rapids. It was a big deal. I'd be waiting for you.
Yeah, Sullivan. We'd always see Bob Sullivan
That's
up
right.
there. You know, as always, he'd come in, and gosh, I remember, Bob Sullivan opened a hotel, and we, instead of staying at the Amway, we stayed at the Bob Sullivan's hotel up there. Because, of course, he was a famous baseball guy, and he was responsible for Mickey Stanley signing. Mickey Stanley's
from the Sullivans there. Turned out a few major leaguers.
Yeah, very good baseball program down through the years, and a lot of Tigers tradition. You start to really feel that tradition. I think more so this year with, Tram and Jack going into the Hall of Fame. And baseball, there's all sports are traditional, all those different things, but nothing quite like the tradition of baseball and that feeling. There's something about it. You know, I know Ernie did his, what do they call it, the song of the
Voice
Spring.
Of the Turtle.
Yeah, at the burst. But there's just something when you have, one of my favorite things and something I always do when you do your first spring training game, I always listen to that. And especially if it's at Joker Marchant Stadium, and it doesn't matter if they renovated it, there's a certain sound that comes out of that ballpark. And, of course, having spent so much time there myself at that ballpark, what it means, when you say those things, it's just starting, I can hear that noise, that's so special. You know, it really is. I mean, it's If you can't get excited about it, I don't know what you can get excited about.
Right. There's nothing quite like the start of a baseball season. I'm not saying that just because that's my job. I mean, truly, I've always felt that way.
No, I know that.
And I loved all sports growing up, but there's just something about the start of a baseball season that I don't think any other sport can quite match.
Yeah. And those summer days, you know, I tell people, well, the Tigers aren't going to be contenders. Blah, 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 blah. So I was like, yeah, but it's going to be fun this year because they're going to be building to something different. You're going to see some young guys come up. They're going to surprise you. You're going to have some disappointments with some of these guys. It's just different and fun. But, you know, like when it's the middle of summer, say it's a July day, and, you know, somebody comes in, say the Angels come in. I don't even look at the Angels are coming in July or something or whatever, and Mike Trout's in town or something. And you're sitting there, and it's, you know, 80 degrees. It's this beautiful sunny day, and you're looking out at Comerica Park. And you're seeing a baseball game. I just can feel it right now. You know, especially in the middle of the winter, it just provides hope. You know, and it's this feeling that's I don't even know if I can describe it, even if I'm a writer.
I think anybody who's gone to the ballpark in years where the Tigers didn't win, like I did in the mid-70s when I got my driver's license, and thankfully my parents just let me go and on my own, and I loved it. Those were some lean years in the mid-70s, even with Mark Fidrich coming up in 76. It was still lean for a while. They lost 19 in a row in 75. Still went to the games. Loved going down to Tiger Stadium. Center field bleachers for $1.50 when I started going.
Yeah, you know, and I remember
it's why
that.
It's why we like baseball. There's still you like the game. Yes, this might be it's going to be a different kind of year, but like you said, July day, good team in town. You never know.
You know, and just take last year for example. You know, and it was kind of a lost season after the Tigers lost and everything. But you saw some things in that season that you went to the ballpark, you didn't have no idea were going to happen. The classic example was Matt Boyd almost throwing a no-hitter. When you go to a ball game, and I don't know, all the games that I've been to, and heck, you've been to more than me now, you know, because you go to every game, 162, and it's, you know, I was a beat writer for less time than what you've been a broadcaster for. So you've been to more of those games than I do, and you have to sit through all nine innings of them and call all nine innings of them or extra innings if it goes that way. But you know this. It could be like 10-5. It's, you know, oh, my gosh. It's, you know, and then all of a sudden something that you've never seen before will happen. And it's the magic of the game. I mean, I can't even believe how many times something happens that I've never seen before just – covering some game in the middle of summer.
My first year, had never done baseball before other than practice tapes down at Tiger Stadium. So I had no idea what 162 was going to be like. I didn't know if I liked baseball at the end of 162 games of every day. Remember, Tiger started 9-23 the year they traded for Juan Gonzalez, new ballpark, supposed to be good. They were not. And I remember asking Ernie Harwell in Minnesota very distinctly, remember exactly where we were, how do you do this when your team is no good? And he said, just remember, somebody's always listening. Give them a reason to listen to that game. You might see something you've never seen before. You might see a great individual effort. You might see a great game between two bad teams. Simple advice, but it was a great reminder why we love baseball. And within a week, I swear, it might have been longer, but it seemed like it was within a week, that was a bad team. And it might have been later in the year, because they actually got better toward the end of the year. I think it was two on, nobody out. Tigers had runners at first and second. Pitcher steps off the rubber, traps the base runner between first and second, tags him out. Traps the base runner between second and third, tags him out. Unassisted double play just by stepping off the rubber gets two runners. And I asked Ernie, have you ever seen that before? No.
No. That's somebody, how many games?
Years. You know. Never seen that before. I swear it was within a couple of weeks of him giving me that advice. Never seen that before.
And, you know, the game, too, there's this way where, you know, individuals will come up. Some guy from the minor leagues, he might be a top prospect, or he might be some guy that's, considered a 4A player. But, you know, you kind of feel for the guy. You understand his story. You tell his story. You see his story. And it's an individual confrontation. It's not a continuous motion game. He's up there batting. And, you know, it's like weird. He might be batting against Clayton Kershaw or something, and he'll pop a home run or something. And you think to yourself, that guy doesn't do anything ever in his life again. Right. He's got that moment. And I don't know. It's just an incredible game. But anyway, you want to talk about it? We're here to talk about it. This is a labor of love for us.
Love to hear what Tigers fans, what's on their minds going into this season. I mean, pitchers and catchers are going to report on Valentine's Day, not that far away. What are some of the things either they want to see or they have the biggest question marks about going into spring training, which is not that far away.
248-539-9797. Tigers catcher James McCann will join us at 7:45 tonight. It's Tiger Talk 97.1 The Ticket. .248-539-9797 is the phone number. We've got open lines. Dan brought up a question. What do you expect, and what will be the big storyline in spring training this year? It's a good question. I'm not so sure.
You know, spring training so often is not a good time to judge who's going to be a breakthrough player and or who should make your roster. Obviously, Al Avila and his staff, Ron Gardenhire and his staff have to figure out sometimes based on spring training performances, but this year maybe more than some other years.
More than, you know, most.
You're going to have guys making the team and or not making the team because of spring training performances. That bullpen to me, Pat, is wide open. And really, given how slow this free agent market has been, and you look at some of the guys who are still out there, I'd kind of be surprised, even though the Tigers aren't in a spending mode, there are going to be some bargains, veteran arms that you would think could help this bullpen going into spring training. Or I would think some of these guys can be unsigned at the beginning of spring training.
Right. Oh, it's not
a bargain, meaning $2-3 million right. for a veteran arm that can really help a bullpen that really has no experience outside of Shane Green, who's still relatively new to being a reliever and certainly a closer, and Alex Wilson. There's just not much beyond those two.
You know, I was listening to, and I apologize, I would attribute it, but I forget exactly who said it. You know, a lot of information going through these space between these ears here. But somebody was talking about this offseason. I thought it was one of the most astute observations I've heard. And, you know, talking to baseball people this offseason, I thought it was a great one. You know, players right now, you know, say a guy's a five-year guy, he would rather be an arbitration-eligible guy than he would be a free agent. Because the arbitration's tables are set. You saw Castellanos get $6 million.
You know, predict it almost to the .1, .2 million, whatever it is.
Well, very close.
Yeah, I mean, they predicted what? McCann would get 2-3, he got 2-3.
Right, and so it's pretty obvious. And with free agency, there's a five or six teams that are going for it, and they're being very, you know, they've got pretty good teams. They don't have to bid for anybody unnecessarily. The Yankees already made their big moves, you know, with getting Giancarlo Stanton. And the lower level free agents, other teams just, they don't want to go anywhere near the luxury tax. They all want to use their analytics department to build a core, and what the game plan, the blueprint that the Tigers have, that's the blueprint in Atlanta. That's the blueprint all over baseball right now. If you were to go, and that's the blueprint in Cincinnati where they're hoarding prospects. They've got a lot of really good ones. That's the blueprint. You go around baseball, that's what it is. And so those free agents are going to be out there. And you're right, Dan. I mean, at what point would somebody like Al Avila say, hey, you know, wait a second here. You know, this guy, you know, value of contract works both ways. You don't want to have a value of contract, and the Tigers have gotten caught in this cycle for many years now where you're overpaying.
Right.
But, you know, value of contract, some guy's a $5 million player. Your analytics department tells you that, and he's available for $1.5 or $2
million. Exactly.
Why not sign him? You know, because, you know, if you get some wins, you know, more people are going to be interested in your team. It's going to drive, you know, some of your box office, and that contract could pay for itself to a degree. Merchandise, all the different things that they do.
Right, and another guy that you might be able to trade at the trade deadline.
Right.
Truly, you pick up a guy for less than he is valued, absolutely. And yeah. There are going to be those guys out there.
And that's why these analytics departments are so important.
So important.
Because, and people will say, well, Pat, what are you talking about, everything? It's like 5% here, you give yourself an advantage. 10% here, you give yourself an advantage. You know, it's across the board. It's strategically. It's an injury evaluation. That's kind of one of the underrated factors that they've been able to crunch these numbers and come up with analysis on it. So it's not just some kind of wasted, you know, kind of Orwellian, you know, type of thing, you know, where people want to put it in there. And there's all, you know, there's still guts and sweat. The game is still played in right. open air space by human beings. But, you know, moving forward, it'll be interesting to see. You don't want to pay somebody $5 million when they're worth $3 million, but if somebody's worth five and you can only pay him three, it might be a good deal for you.
Look at the guys that have talent, have a track record, that, again, Chris Bosio has a knack for guys who maybe have underperformed and can get something out of them. But, I mean, just Sergio Romo, Tony Watson, Tyler Clippard, Houston Street injury shortened year, 1 year removed from a pretty good year. I mean, these are guys who are all still out there. They're not all going to be signed in the next few weeks. Just thinking of lower budget guys, especially guys who might want to just sign that 1 year deal to get some of their value back and get, you know, being attractive. Right. I would think Tony Watson's going to get some money. But there are guys out there, Peter Moreland, not a huge, you know, sexy pick, but workmanlike guy.
But what, you know, and also what happens, it comes down to, we're talking value of contract, monetary things, but they have value when it comes down to, look at last year. You know, you probably had half the teams that can fancy themselves as contenders. It gets near trade deadline, then all of a sudden that guy has value for prospects for somebody who may want to take a run at it. So, you know, it's a fascinating way to look at it. It's very different this year, and you don't want to throw good money after bad, but the value of contract can go the other way. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, Al Avila and his staff are looking at that.
For fans, if you're looking at, all right, who would make sense? To me, I always start still with the very basics, strikeouts and walks. You want that 2-3-1 strikeouts to walks, especially for relievers. I want a strikeout rate that's close to 7.5 or above, preferably closer to a strikeout an inning. Don't look at ERA. Look at the underlying skills. How many home runs does he give up? Tony Romo, a little bit home run prone. How many swings and misses does he get? There are two ways, different ways of measuring it. Find one that you like, but I want a guy who gets swings and misses too. I mean, those are the kinds of things. If you look at just ERA, a guy who had a 4.40 might actually be a pretty good pitch with low walks, high strikeouts. You look at a guy like Andrew Cashner, 3.30 ERA, high walks, low strikeouts. That's not a guy who, to me, is very attractive to anybody, and I think that's why he's still sitting out there. Just a couple of things that fans can look for. Try to figure out for yourself who would make sense for this team. There are going to be some bargains, and I'd be surprised, really, at a low cost if the Tigers didn't spend a little money to beef up a bullpen, because this rotation has a chance to be pretty decent.
It does. And, you know, the guy that, you know, look, I may very well regret this, but I think the guy you got to look at a lot is Daniel Norris, because Daniel Norris has not had an easy time. Daniel Norris had a health issue. He had an injury issue. He's had expectations that are getting kind of thrown on him, big-time prospect, traded for a star, you know, put in, and he got off to a fast start for the Tigers. And then, you know, kind of went a lot south on him. And a lot of people are down on the guy, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what, he's a pretty good athlete. You know, he's a lefty. He sets
one of the best athletes on the team.
He's got a little juice on his fastball. It's 93, you know, it's in there. He's got a real good, you know, bite on his slider. When it's right, he gets over the top on it. And it, you know, he's got a good slider. It seems at times like he's going to feel pitching, and he's just a little off with his command. He doesn't miss, like, all over the place, just a little off. If it's just a little on, he starts clipping the strike zone instead. And the umps haven't been squeezing him. I mean, the box shows that he's just a little off. Man, he could all of a sudden be like a version of Robbie Ray this year. So I'm not predicting that. I know people will.
Well, Robbie Ray, I mean, his walks are still very high. Yeah. Daniel Norris's track record actually is a little bit better than that.
Robbie Ray would have some trouble in the American League.
And his ERA is going up this year, unless the walks go way down.
That's what the projection is. For
you get a walk rate over 4, your ERA is going up.
Right. He struck out 12 per.
It's phenomenal.
You know, so I don't know. You know, it's hard to tell. The other thing on Robbie Ray, though, in fairness to him on that, that ballpark is a hitter's paradise. If you watch games where the ball really carries its second highest elevation in Major League Baseball. So, you know, it's hard to tell exactly where he's at, but I understand completely what you're saying on that. David, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Really glad to hear Tiger Talk, especially in the middle of January. I have a question. My friends and I want to go check out some of the minor league affiliates, and I was wondering where you think the top three pitching prospects, Manning, Fiedo, and Burrows, where they'll be pitching this summer.
Well, I think you'll see those guys, Burrows and Perez, are the two guys that you really want to watch. will be in Erie to start and then probably move to Toledo if they have success. Erie is not that hard to get to. The ballpark's in a little bit difficult area. You know, it's a little rugged there, but I think you would like it. You'll see Fajardo likely will start in Lakeland. If they think he is ready because of the weather.
More so than West Michigan?
Well, they don't want to put him in West Michigan in April.
But you're not going to start him in Lakeland, then send him to West Michigan.
Well, what you might do is put him in extended, and then when the weather warms, put him in West Michigan. They're hoping, because he's so advanced, that he can pitch at Lakeland to start.
Ideal would be at AA by the end of the year.
Yes, and they don't. But the key is with him, they don't want to put him in. The 40 right. degrees and have him start games.
You could have Matt Manning and Alex Fajardo, two different pitchers, because one's out of high school, one's out of college, both at West Michigan for at least a time this year.
Yes, absolutely. It's very possible that Fajardo could be.
And then you'd have Burles and Perez at Erie.
Yeah, I'm just telling you kind of what they plan
trip.
On that.
Either road trip would be good. Obviously, West Michigan, great setting, great crowds, 2 hours away.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think who will be at West Michigan. I think you might see that Foley kid back there again for a bit and, some others, but eventually, West Michigan's always a good place to go. It's a great, venue to watch, and you'll see some guys that are really good that'll be there.
They had a great season last year.
Yeah, they had 90 games. They won 90.
The one thing I don't like about the way things are structured, and it's not the Tigers' fault on this, but nobody goes to the games in Lakeland. I mean, there's maybe 400 people there. The games are not on minor league baseball television. It's very obscure. If you've ever been to Lakeland, it's like 95 degrees with 95-degree humidity in July. Yeah. It's just a different atmosphere. But a lot of the Tigers' better prospects actually are going to be there this year, that Paredes kid and others. So, but go to West Michigan, go to Toledo. Toledo will have some.
It's a good ballpark, too.
Yeah. 248-539-9797 is the phone number. But Erie would be the most interesting place at the start of the year, I would think. 97 won the ticket.
Tiger Talk with Pat Caputo and Dan Dickerson on Tigers Radio. 97.1 the ticket.
248-539-9797. Tigers catcher James Cann will join us at 7:45. Tiger Talk here on 97.1 The Ticket. This is from Ticket Text 97136. Interesting question. Why can't Castellanos play first base? And I think Gerber should be converted to second base. We got some lefties in the lineup somewhere. We have to have some lefties in the lineup somewhere. It's from Mike and Hamtramck. I have no idea if Michael Gerber, who's an advanced prospect, he's a little older. Is it going to be more than a 4A player? He's going to be interesting to see. He's an outfielder from Creighton that was taken and has done pretty well through their system here, but he's a little older. I don't know if he's ever played infield. But
I think that is key. I was looking at him this winter. It reminded me, and the numbers are not dissimilar to in terms of age and production. And it's not a slight at all. Casper Wells, who was a promising prospect, very athletic coming up, had kind of a brief major league career. But I kind of look, I'm with you. I don't know if he's a 4A guy or if he doesn't look like at this point a major league regular, but could he be a fourth outfielder in the major leagues? Absolutely. But he is older, and I think that's important for people to keep in mind.
I have no idea. I've seen him play quite a bit on these streaming games. And
I know you scouted him.
I've looked at him a lot. I've sure seen him play a lot. Yeah, he looks like he's pretty good to me. But he does look like there's not one outstanding tool that stands out. And it's like, Dan, the second baseman they got for the future. It's this kid named Dewal Lugo, who's a little bit better prospect than what I thought at the time that the Tigers traded for him in the J.D. Martinez trade. He can turn to double play. He's athletic. And, boy, does he got a live bat. And I'm watching these games streaming while you're on the air, I'm sitting there with my iPad watching these games. And one of the things about Dewal Lugo, he hit a couple home runs. I mean, they were high velocity. Man, he hit them a long way home runs. But he hit them off guys who were throwing like 83, 84 miles an hour. I mean, off-speed pitches from double-A guys who are never going to pitch in the major leagues. Now, he obviously has the tools to be a major league player and a good one, Dewal Lugo. Better than people think that way. But when you know this, and especially now, the average fastball in the major leagues from 2002 has gone up from an average of 90.5 or whatever to 92.3, and it's going up and up and up. Can he hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball? Can he hit a major league fastball consistently? If he can't, they just keep piling that in there. You saw with Jacoby Jones. Jacoby Jones is an outstanding athlete, but he really struggles with a little bit more cheese. You know, as Rod Allen would call it. Rod always says high cheese. So I got to give Rod, you know, the credit for that. But that's, you know, the question. Michael Gerber, when he sees those type of guys. Christian Stewart, who's got an extraordinarily live bat. He sets up there, man. Yeah, he could be he could hit 40 home runs in the major leagues. That's not an exaggeration. He's a very powerful hitter. You know, and the question is, he can't throw very well, and he's not very athletic in the outfield. You know, will he be able to hit enough to translate that? Will he be able to get better enough? You don't know until you actually see them out there. You know, last year you were giving me a hard time about something, and I forgot that I had said this. And I said, Dan, I never said this. I never said that. And then I remembered, like, it was like 3 months later, I was thinking, you know what? I did say that to Dan. And I forget what it was. It was something I was telling you, and you said Nick Castellanos could get down the line.
Yes. How did I know you were going to bring that up?
And
I didn't contradict you on the air, though.
No. This was just you and I stopped by the booth. I try to stop by the booth once in a while. You're always busy. I'm always busy. But once in a while, I stop by the booth there and just chat with you. And you said to me, and I forget who we were talking about, and I said, I never said that. I did say that because sometimes it gets misleading, and you don't know. And
well, to your point, at the time you said it, he was not very athletic and he was not quick down the line. That was my feeling. He changed completely in the offseason, and we said it in the first exhibition game. This guy looks different because he worked on it. Like right. You said, you wrote about it last week. This is a hard worker, and he obviously worked. He was much quicker. What did he have? 9, 10, 11 triples last year, lead the American League.
10, yeah.
And, I mean, that's a clear indication that he was faster on the base pass. So I want people to know, I contradicted you off the air. Because he really, until last year, was not very athletic.
Talk. You know, right. Sometimes you and I talk, we go back and forth.
Oh, it's fun to argue baseball.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, but I was like, I never said that. And I actually did. I remembered like a long time after speaking to you, I forget why it popped into my mind, that I had said that about him when he was a minor league guy watching, you know, the stream games, or I might have been down where he was playing. I've gone out to the minor league sites like I used to go to every year. But it's... you know, I was doing that Baseball America work, but it's just, it's hard to tell. You know, it's hard to tell. It really is. Christian Stewart, to me, is somebody, we haven't talked about him that much.
No, I was going
to
say, of all the, look at the top 20, and there's a pretty good consensus on close to most of these guys. Of the top 20 prospects, or the top 15, and they, what, half of them are guys who've been added to the top 15 list through trades in the last 6 months. I would say the only one really who has a chance to make an impact, Michael Gerber, I think maybe has a chance to make an impact. But in terms of really making an impact, I think we'll see Gerber this year. Might even make the opening day roster.
I mean, well, how old is the guy?
He's 26 years old.
Yeah, I mean, you got to see him.
He's, 26 in July.
Yeah.
So this is age 25 season. But I would think the guy who has a chance to make an impact because of what you talked about, special power, is Christian Stewart. I mean, he really might. He might spend the whole year at AAA. I don't know, but that's a guy that at least, given the opportunities that might be there. I talked to Bruce Fields about his defense because all the reports have really been kind of the same, that he's not especially good in the outfield. Bruce Fields told me he'd seen him. You know, Bruce is one of the minor league hitting coordinators, and he said he's actually, you know, he's fairly athletic. So if you're athletic – and maybe you don't throw especially well. Rondell White didn't have a good arm. He was athletic. He couldn't throw a lick. But, I mean, if at least you can cover ground in the outfield and you work at it, and Bruce said he does work at it and he is athletic, I mean, maybe he has a chance to be more than a DH because a lot of people right now seem to think he's a DH.
Well, I have enormous respect for Bruce, so don't, you know, take it that I don't. And he may very well be right. But my observations of Christian Stewart is that he's a well below average outfielder.
Because of what?
Well, one, I don't think
you don't think he moves well. What?
Well, he doesn't have tremendous foot speed. He is somebody that throwing. I mean, he's an extra base about to happen. I mean, they're really
Sometimes you can't explain it.
Yeah, he doesn't throw hard. He doesn't throw well. He has trouble throwing. So those are two things. I don't think he's a horrible athlete. Don't get me wrong, but he's not. You know, there's a correlation because he was an advanced guy. He played at very high-level competition in the SEC. He was an outstanding college player. He was taken about the same time in the draft, and he's a left-handed hitter. There was kind of this like, whoa, is he like Curtis Granderson? He's nothing like Curtis Granderson. All right, he's got actually more power than Curtis. I mean, if they're taking batting practice, he would hit the ball further than Curtis by a long shot.
And he's 6'195".
Oh,
he's not big.
He's bigger than that. I don't know what they've weighed him now. He looks like an NFL linebacker, and he sets up there in this certain stance that's very threatening. You look at Christian Stewart, you do not want to throw the ball over the plate.
And don't get caught up in his batting average. His strikeout rate, to me, isn't too high for a guy who hits with power. He draws walks.
He's got big time, in my opinion. If he hits the ceiling, it's high as a hitter. Defensively.
And there's a chance we'll see him this year, don't you think? And he has a chance to make an impact because they need a left-handed bat.
You know, I remember seeing Steven Moya, and he had special power.
Low walks, high strikeouts in the minor leagues.
This is different.
This guy's got a high walk rate, or certainly a rock-solid walk rate, with the strikeouts that aren't over the top.
Yes.
And Moya was always low walks, very high strikeouts.
Big-time power. You know, I think Christian Stewart could be a very special hitter. We haven't talked enough about him as a hitter. But as a defensive player, and Bruce has seen him play a lot. So, you know, I would take Bruce.
He was being honest.
No, Bruce is not one to,
If he didn't think he could play a lick, he would have said so.
You're right.
I wouldn't say
anything. And I respect Bruce. No, I'm Bruce for long. But I respect Bruce on that. But like I said, my observation of him, that could be a kind of a struggle, especially into Comerica Park, the translation of it. It's a littler ballpark in Erie. So when he played at Henley Field when he was at Lakeland. So it's a smaller park than the major league park. So it'll be interesting what he does in Toledo. But I think he's a really good hitter. But anyway, James McCann's coming up next. Tiger Talk 97.1 The Ticket.
Talk with Pat Caputo and Dan Dickerson on Tigers Radio 97.1 The Ticket.
248-539-9797 is the phone number. And we're joined now by Tigers catcher James McCann. How are you, James?
I'm doing.
Oops. There we go. We
operator
got
error.
Yeah. You there, James?
Can y'all hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now. That was my fault. Okay. I apologize. But you're on Tiger Talk. I'm Pat Caputo. Dan Dickerson is here. And how's the offseason been going for you so far? And you looking forward to spring training?
Well, it's been a busy offseason for the McCann family, but I can't wait for spring training.
Got some children, I understand, on the way here, or already have arrived.
They've already arrived. They arrived early, December 6th. They were born at 30 weeks, so we've been in the NICU for since then. I'm actually sitting in a waiting room right now talking to y'all. But
Yeah,
we started our off season with a move of our off season home to the Nashville area, and we finally kind of started to get settled in around Thanksgiving and. A couple of weeks later, we had two babies born. So
tell us, were they tiny? And you said they still have not yet gone home. Is there hope they can go home soon?
Yeah, so they were born 3 pounds, 3 ounces.
All right.
2 pounds, 8 ounces. And they are now up to 4 pounds, 13 ounces, and 4 pounds, 6 ounces.
Boy, girl, two, which is it?
Two boys.
Two boys, okay.
Two boys, Christian and Kane. They're doing really well. We don't know when they're going to be able to come home yet, but they're making strides and they're gaining weight and doing everything they need to do, right on pace with what the doctors are happy with.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, we can't thank you enough for being in a waiting room with your two boys just a few feet away and taking the time to join us tonight. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So, James, talk a little bit about kind of your thoughts. I always think it's interesting to hear from the players' perspective. I mean, a lot of people are thinking, well, after a 98-loss season and the players and the talent this team has lost, this is going to be another lean year. But just from your perspective, there still is talent on this team. There still is the hope that guys like Boyd and Norris can be regular, productive members of a major league rotation. They've been up and down, obviously, the last 2 years. How do you look at the talent on this team going into spring training?
Well, I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's a known fact that we're going through a rebuild. With that being said, you know, there's a lot of guys on that roster that can make cause for excitement. You know, there is talent. It's just unknown talent, and it's talent that is still still being groomed. You know, you look at Candelario over at third base. He's got a chance to be a phenomenal big leaguer for a long time. You know, you still have Iglesias at shortstop. You've got the best hitter of our generation playing first base. You know, so and you got Nick Castellanos who is making a transition to right field, and you see what kind of year he put up last year. And then, yeah, you talk about Norris and you talk about Boyd, you talk about Fulmer. You know, so there's guys that you know have reason to give you hope. And I understand what everyone talks about, and everyone says that. Expect a 100 loss season, and you know. But in all honesty, I think that there is talent on the team that we're going to be able to surprise people at times.
You know, you're a catcher. You've been in the big leagues now for a while. A lot of your older teammates have moved to other organizations. Do you look at your leadership role? You've always seemed to be a natural leader. Is it going to be more enhanced this year under the circumstances for you, James?
Yeah, I do think that I'd like to take another step forward as far as a leadership role. I say it's easy in the sense that, you know, being the catcher, you're the general of the team, and you, whether you're a team leader or not, you have to be a leader of sorts on the field at that position. But I do think that, you know, with the guys that have moved on and it's a new generation of players coming through Detroit that you know, there is going to be some different leadership, and I think that's definitely a role that I'd like to step into moving forward.
How'd you feel about your year, James? I mean, it's you're kind of quiet but impressive improvements offensively. I know that for Brad Ausmus, the biggest thing for a catcher is learning to call a game, and you've obviously had a lot of experience now over the last couple of years getting a chance to do that. He put that skill above all others when it comes to evaluating a catcher. Talk about those two areas of your game, the progress that you made in 2017.
Yeah, so offensively, you know, it started out slow for me, and it was a real test to my will and my you know faith as far as you know sticking with a plan and trusting that it was gonna work over the long haul of the season, and you know, then you know, I was able to finally start to see the results come, you know, more towards the middle of the season, the second half, and you know, it's exactly what veterans told me when I first made it to the big leagues. So guys like Torrey Hunter and Don Kelly that said, "Don't fret over a bad month." You know, the difference between having a bad month in April and a bad month in August is. In April, you look up and you see you're hitting above 50. In April or in August, you look up and you've gone from 290 to 260. You know,
yeah.
And it's just a matter of, you know, you look up and you see you're hitting above 50, and it's really easy to get down on yourself. You know, in August, you go from 290 to 260, and you go, oh well, you know, another 100 at bats, and I'll be back up to 275.
What about? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just going to ask you about the pitching staff. You've got. A young pitching staff now, a little bit different than, you know, throwing down a finger for JV or two fingers for JV. You've got these young guys. Are you going to take a more of a role of calling the pitches and being more involved in that, especially when some of these guys come up?
Yeah, I think that, and that's what I was going to talk about as far as pitch calling goes, is now I've had, you know, I've had experience, and I've been around the league more than once, so I've gotten to know hitters, and I have experience that I can fall back on facing different guys. So that's information that I can help the younger pitchers with, and that's something that you know will go a long way into their development is how quickly you know we can get on the same page and how quickly we can you know figure out how each guy has to attack. Hitters based on the repertoire they have, that's the biggest thing for calling pitches is understanding each individual pitcher. You can't call a game the same way, you know, with a guy like JV versus a guy, you know, like Boyd. You know, they're completely different pitchers. They have completely different strengths and different weaknesses, and that's something that you have to take into account when you are calling a game.
Well, James, best of luck with your family situation. Congratulations on the birth of your children. And look forward to the start of the season, spring training, all that stuff good and coming up. Good luck to you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, James.
All right. Take care.
There you go. That's James McCann. Nice guy.
Great guy. Great to hear those babies have gained a little over a pound for one and a pound and a half for the other. That's big when you're born that far premature. And congratulations to the McCann family. Still in the in the care of the hospital before they get to go home. Hopefully they get to go home soon.
What day are we on next week?
We are on Friday, a week from Friday.
Okay. Week from Friday. We'll talk to you then. We got Tiger Fest will be coming up pretty soon. Enjoyed it, Dan. You know what's coming up next? Pistons tonight. I'll be hosting Pistons tonight. I'm excited about that.
I'll call in on my way home.
And then Inside Hockey Town after that. But anyway, enjoyed it, Dan. 97-1 the ticket.